Dick.
Yes, sir.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling fine, thank you, sir. Hope you are.
I'm just doing good. Dick, I want to ask for your judgment on a very confidential basis. They're beating the hell out of us every day on this Maddox thing. I don't want to get involved, and we just dodge it and run and hide, no comment. The president doesn't know anything about it. Now Weltner came along and made his statement, and they're baiting him again this morning. Maybe too late now, our 11 o'clock briefing. Bill Moyers has to go through with it. And I told him to just avoid any comment any way he could. If he had to make any, just say, well, I was under the impression that Weltner, I knew nothing about his resigning, and I know nothing about the situation, internal situation in Georgia, but I thought his service was useful in the Congress.
Oh, I'd say he's a splendid young congressman. He was. Well, he's a hell of a nice boy. He's making a devil of a mistake on this thing. He ought to stay up here, but he's got worried about the situation there in his home county.
I would gather that with the Maddox and the Republicans joining up on him, he figured he might get beat.
With two ganging him, he's going to be in a dangerous position. But I don't think he's Fred exactly. He just bothered, and he's that kind of fella. I knew his daddy 40 years ago. I got his father to draw the Reorganization Act that made me famous in the state and in my big political mainstay up till now. I'm sorry personally, because I like Charles. I think he's a very promising young man, a very capable young fella. I'm sorry he quit.
Now, what is a good thing for a president to say?
I thought Congressman Mullen was a young man of great promise, and I regretted he wouldn't be in the next Congress, and I'd leave it there. I would go into the details.
Now, when you get on Maddox, what do you say?
Well, I don't know of anything you can say about Maddox, except that he won the nomination down there.
Can we just say that I'm going to have the same thing with every governor.
And I just, if I could say something, that this is a matter for the state to decide, and they've decided it. I'm not familiar with the record of the individuals involved.
I think that'd be the best thing to say. I just think it's, of course, that's up to the people in Georgia elect the governor. That you had plenty to do without getting involved in the gubernatorial campaign.
I don't want to get in a thing where I'm hitting at Maddox. At the same time, I don't want to get in a thing where I'm embracing him.
Well, I agree with you there completely. Maddox, if he's elected, ain't going to be as bad as he sounds. He sounds impossible. Of course, Maddox is a hard-way fella. He had to leave school when he's 12 years old, carry three paper routes to help his mother support his two youngest brothers and sisters. And he made a lot of money, and he made it the hard way. And he felt like it is his, and he did raise hell down there at one time. But Maddox is really a very religious, God-fearing man. He prays over everything. He teaches men's Baptist Sunday school, biggest class in Atlanta there. I don't think he'll be, if he is elected, which is doubtful now, I don't think he'll be as bad, really, as Callaway would be. Because Callaway, of course, got more culture. $50 million back to him, and got a lot of education at Uncle Sam's expense. West Point, damn scoundrel, resigned one year before he fulfilled his commitment on the ground his father's health made it necessary for him to go on. I like Bo, he's a nice fellow, but if I just had to take a choice between two, I'd take Maddox. It looks like we've got out of that. I knew they wasn't going to elect Arnold. Because the people outside of the city never have had any consciousness on. I never have been able to put my finger on the reason for it, but I knew it was there. And he would have just had to carry the city completely solidly to one.
Now, one other thing. On our appropriation bills, our revenue is running very well. We don't want to get any ruinous inflation, and I had all the Democrats down last night from the Finance Committee, and they wobbled around and quarreled a little here and there, Fulbright and others, but I would gather that Dirksen says he's helping, that they'll report this bill and get on, because we're having a bulge of orders, and if we postpone it, why, we'll We'll go up to 62 or 3 bit.
We'll do it now.
That's right. Mike said he was going to help, and Dirksen said he'd help. So I assume that's it. Now, I want to act as quickly as I can when I know these appropriation bills. Do you have a sense or feel, you always do have, for the Senate? That's what they will do on things like your poverty bill and your other
I know, sir, there's so many
education and stuff.
These candidates have assumed the potion so much greater than I ever thought they would or should that I no longer can analyze the Senate. They come up with new adherent every time they have a vote over that, Jelly. Ordinarily, I would think the Senate would cut that bill back to your budget figure.
I asked Mansfield and Dirksen to offer a motion for both of them and point out that the budget had jumped from 98 to 113. That we had $5 or $6 billion worth of the Great Society stuff. We'd eliminated old projects to make room for it, but we had done it in education. Poverty had $1.75 billion, $250 more than we had last year, and we really have less need for it this year than we had last year because we got a lot better employment. But Dirksen said he'd do it. Mansfield just grunted, didn't say. Never could get an answer out of him. But that's awfully key, that and the education. Because if we overdo this thing, the people will abolish them and get them out of the way. And
yeah,
get
sure will. If Mansfield would take the lead, we could cut that thing back to your budget without any trouble. I worked there ever since you called me before. I took that military medical assistance bill over here, and I cut it 60-odd million below the House and 20-odd million below your request, but I got a better bill because I
worked
on the motor liberty. You signed it yet?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Will you say a word to Mansfield, just kind of encourage him a little? Say, let's stay on the budget. The budget's going to be 115 as it is. He's gone over, you see, with the pay and GI Bill and military aid and those things, and it's going to be. Just tell him it's going
to
be.
I think it ought to be cut back, and damn him, he knows it ought to be.
You chairman of appropriations.
We've talked about it in the policy committee.
Well, if he and Dirksen would just do it and offer it, and just on the theory that I sent up 113, it's already 115 to 16, already down here. So it's that much. Now, if you go to adding $750 million on poverty, then education, this poverty is sitting over there just waiting.
Well, of course, they added $1 billion or something here in the...
Oh, education, he had $2 billion, Wayne did, on the authorization.
Well, we've got to cut that back because the budget's going to hell. It will be when you get...
But you're right up against this other one today, so you say something to him.
All right, I'll work on it. Now, listen, I haven't bothered you anybody else. There's a little project down in Georgia that I never would have mentioned thought about, but they told me it was approved, and then later they withdrew their approval after I'd notified the people it was approved. And I've gone into the project. There's nothing wrong with it. Who ought I call about that? Marvin Watson?
Yeah, well, Jake's here now, and I'll get him. If you'll give him the name, I'll put him on, and he'll look at it. Here's Jake Jackson. Wait a minute. Yes, sir, Senator.
Yes, sir. This is the Georgia Furniture Manufacturing Corporation in Dublin, Georgia. They want a loan of $1,100,000.